Good evening. Welcome to Devonshire Road Presbyterian Church. It is good to see you. It is good to be gathered in the house of the Lord where we have been called to worship Him. And no, it's not Sunday, but this is the day before Christmas. And it's this marvelous Christmas season that we remember what God has done in sending His Son to be our life, to provide for us salvation in Him. I've got just one announcement for you before we have our call to worship, and that is that if you do not yet have a candle, make sure you get one of those. There are plenty that away and that away at each of our entrances. Thank you, Carter, for making sure everybody knows what a candle is. So if you don't have one, make sure you get one, and then those can be deposited back in the bins from which you got them after the service as you prepare to leave. Well, I would welcome you again. And here now our call to worship, and actually before that, I'm going to pray for us. Pray with me if you would. Gracious Father, we come to you this night as we celebrate and remember the coming of Jesus Christ to this world, to live a perfect and sinless life. Even as he was born a humble death, we see him living in humility, walking before you in obedience in all things. In this we rejoice, and we thank you for this, and we ask that you would be with us, that you would guide and guard our worship, that we would be quick to see the glories of the incarnation, of what you have given us in this God-man, Jesus Christ. Guide our worship so that it might be pleasing to you, and may we go from here, having been encouraged and blessed by our time together in worship to you. All of this we pray in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Our call to worship this evening comes from Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And this is the message of the gospel, isn't it? Peace among God's people with our God. And we're going to begin our worship by singing together hymn number 125, Joy to the World. So let's stand together and sing hymn number 125. Seated for our Old Testament reading, which comes from Isaiah chapter 9. It can be found on page 680 to 681 in your pew Bibles. And we're going to be reading verse 2 and verses 6 through 7. Hear now the word of God. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. It's amazing when you think about it, isn't it? One small child and how much he changed. And of course, it wasn't just any small child. He was the Lord of the universe. But it is the birth of this child, of Jesus Christ, that marks everything in life, isn't it? Everything either happened before Christ was born or after he was born. This is how we mark where we are in history. Well, we're going to continue to speak and sing of small things as we stand together and sing hymn number 141, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let's stand and sing. may be seated. And as you are being seated, if you would grab your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 21, which can be found on page 1018 through 1019 in your pew Bibles. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. And before we read, let me pray for us. Our gracious Father and our God, we come to you as those who have heard the good news of your salvation that you have provided in Christ Jesus. There is joy in this news, even as we have read this over and over, this story, particularly Luke's narrative. What a marvelous thing you have done in giving to us Jesus Christ. And so I pray that you would now be with us as we spend a few minutes looking at this portion of your word. May it impact us. May it change us. May we walk away from here having learned more and become closer to you. Having read and examined and heard the preaching of your word, may we be those who are better marked by it for your glory and for our building up. Guide us in this grace, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Well, this evening we're going to be taking 4 points. I know it's typical for us to take 3, but it's Christmas Eve, so let's turn it into 4. And those 4 are this. First, the lowliness of the shepherds. Secondly, the reaction of the shepherds. Thirdly, then, we'll be looking at the message given to the shepherds. And then finally, and fourthly, the response of the shepherds as it is contrasted with the reaction of the shepherds. And so, as you can see, we're going to be focusing a bit on the interaction between the angels and the shepherds, particularly the angel giving this message. Now, the first thing I want us to see here as we look at these shepherds is that they were shepherds. We've all heard it talked about before. Shepherds were lower class. They were not the ones that you would think, "Hey, we want to get this message out. We're going to go and we're going to bring it to the governors, the ones who are in places of power, the religious leaders." They were shepherds. They were the bottom of the barrel. These were the folks that you would not invite to your Christmas party. These were the folks where if you had one of these shepherds in the family, you kind of distanced yourself from them like some of you do with some of the folks in your family, just so that you can hold on to some pretty decent social standing. Shepherds were not thought highly of in Jewish culture. And yet, lo and behold, these are the ones to whom God chose to bring the message of the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. And so he went, this angel, to tell them about this good news of this long-awaited Messiah. And this is where we then see the reaction of the shepherds as our second point. See, this wasn't just any news that was delivered to them, nor was it initially received with joy and celebration. What was the initial reaction of the shepherds? Well, the same reaction that you and I would probably have if we were out there minding our own business, tending our own flocks. You could think perhaps shepherd number one over there is getting ready to start the fire, gather everything to cook dinner. Shepherd number two is preparing the meal, which may have been some sort of sheep that they were going to eat. And then shepherd number three is taking off his sandals to make sure that the blisters that he had weren't getting infected or anything. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this marvelous great light. Shepherd number two over there, as he's preparing the dinner, maybe takes a quick look over at shepherd number one, thinking perhaps he put a little too much oil in the fire before lighting it up. And shepherd number three, with his blisters, is all of a sudden able to see just how bad it was. We don't know what their reaction was at that point, but we do know that whatever their reaction was, it very quickly developed into fear. And not just any fear, but a great fear. Now, we are very fond of describing this phrase, the fear of the Lord, with this definition. The fear of the Lord means a healthy respect for God. Now, I don't see that as I read Scripture when we hear of the fear of the Lord. We hear other words, and perhaps they are more accurate when we hear the fear of the Lord. Terror, perhaps, is a better word when we think of what is really meant by the fear of the Lord. When we think of Isaiah in chapter 6, the man to whom the Lord spoke these prophecies that we've read all through this Advent season, and then earlier as our call to worship in Isaiah 9, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up there in his throne room, he said, "Woe is me, I am undone. I have seen the King of glory, God Almighty." This was a terror. When we think of the Apostle John, as he wrote in John chapter 1, as he saw God there, he fell over as one dead. Peter, James, and John, the Transfiguration in Matthew 17, when God says, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with whom I am pleased," they were terrified. Now, there's the terror, yes. But there's also something else that each of these instances of seeing the fear of the Lord and the glory of the Lord, which is what precipitated this fear, seeing the glory of the Lord, there's something more that is seen as well. There is an immediate following of this great fear with a comfort. We see the angel going to Isaiah and bringing comfort to him, the same with John. And when we see the disciples there at the Transfiguration, Jesus goes to them and touches them and says, "Do not be afraid." And even here then, as we read in Luke chapter 2, what does the angel say first before he says anything else? "Fear not." Now, why is he able to say, "Fear not"? Well, he has good news, not bad news. He has good news. And this is then where we see our third point, the message given to the shepherds. This is the third thing that we see. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Now, this word "good," some of us like to think about words. Some of us try to avoid words as much as possible. But this word "good" is one that we use quite a bit, isn't it? We use it to describe our morning. We had a good morning. We wish people a good day. We say we had a good cup of coffee. We say that it was a good sermon, or maybe you don't say that. That's fine too. I don't mind. We say, well, a good night. I've had a good day. All of these good, good, good. That was a really good meal. Scripture uses the word "good" quite a bit as well, doesn't it? but almost always speaking of God and what He has done. We go back to Genesis chapter 1, and you remember how the Lord described His creation at the close of each day? He looked on all that He had created, and behold, it was good. Now, why talk about Genesis at Christmas time? Well, Genesis is all about the creation that God has made, the redemption that He is working on. And now we have here in Luke chapter 2, a new creation, the dawn of a new day, the dawn of the kingdom of a new king, whose name is Jesus Christ. The one who created all things is now making all things new. We read that we are all created after the image of Christ and that we are new creations in Him. And it is good. And this is the good news that the angel brought to the shepherds. This good news there that we read in verse 11. Look with me there. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's good news. There's nothing bad about that news. The news here is that there is a new king who brings with him new life. The fourth thing that we see then is the response of the shepherds. We saw the reaction, which was great fear, and then there was the good news that was given to them, and now we have their response. We see that beginning in verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things. In verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So what did the shepherds do by way of response? Well, first, they believed. Secondly, they obeyed. And then thirdly, they worshiped. And isn't this what we're called to do as we hear the good news of Jesus Christ? The very first thing, if we're going back to the reaction of the shepherds, is the recognition that we are unworthy, that we are sinners. This is what Isaiah recognized, what John, what the apostles recognized. They were sinners in the presence of Almighty, perfectly holy, perfectly pure God. And what was their reaction? Fear. But the good news is that we don't have to stay there. We don't remain in that place of fear, because what is offered to us in Christ Jesus is peace with God. Don't miss that part of what the angel said. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. If there's one word, and I really do mean this, talking about words, if there's one word that we could use to sum up the entirety of all of these 66 books of our Christian Bible, it would be the word peace. This is what God has done through Jesus Christ. Don't miss it. The angels brought this message. They gave it to the shepherds. The shepherds responded first in recognition that they were not worthy, but then they believed, they obeyed, and they worshiped. So that then leaves us with the very same question. What are we going to do with the good news of Jesus Christ? The news that unto us is born, not this day, but 2,000 years ago, in the city of David, a Savior. Now, what is He saving us from? From ourselves, from our sin. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He is the Lord of all things. He is the new King, bringing new life. So what's going to be your response? Don't worry about the reaction right now. Yes, you need to recognize your sin, but what is following that going to be your response to the good news of Jesus Christ? Tomorrow, is it going to really matter that Jesus was born, other than it gives you a day away from work, some good time with family, time with some good food? Is that all it's going to be? Or is it going to be the recognition, the belief, the obedience to, and the worship of this new King who has brought new life? Earlier today, I was listening to a radio spot, and the man being interviewed said that all of us are born for one reason, to die. And I was waiting for a little bit more, and there was nothing more. I thought, oof, man, if that's all there is, count me out right now. I'm done. But that's not all there is. And as I thought about that response a little bit more, that quote, the thing that this man said, there's a lot of truth to that, isn't there? There's a lot of truth. We're all born for one reason. That is to die. Yes. But the thing that was left out in that response is the good news of Jesus Christ, who was born, why? To die. For your sins. For my sins. But not to remain dead. Not to remain in that place that we would call a place of fear, but then to be raised by his Father, God Almighty. And then to invite any who would believe in him to enjoy and delight in the life that is given in him. So yeah, we all die. Everybody does. 10 out of 10 people die. It's just part of life. But for those who have believed, those who have obeyed, and those who have worshiped this newborn king, that's not the end. There's so much joy awaiting those who are given to Christ, who have given themselves to Christ, who have owned him for themselves, who have yielded to his lordship. So don't miss that. Christmas is a marvelous time to celebrate and enjoy family, enjoy good food, sing songs that we love to sing, sing the songs, enjoy the food, enjoy the family. But if you don't have Christ, then you have nothing. So hear the message of the gospel that Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, the God over all things, was born a humble birth, related himself to mankind, lived a perfect and sinless life, died a sufficient death for the sins of all who believe, and then was raised victorious over death so that in him we might have life. That's what Christmas is all about. And if you're forgetting this bit, you're forgetting the most important bit. And we're people that I think don't like to forget the important bits. Father, we thank you for the grace that you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that while we do enjoy this time of year, we rejoice in being able to gather together as your people and worship you and getting together as family and giving gifts and loving and serving one another in all these ways. But at the end of the day, the one thing that matters is how we respond to the good news, the great and glad tidings of joy that you have given to us in Christ Jesus. So may we be a people, all of us in this place tonight, who respond by believing in that good news, obeying what it requires of us, and worshiping you, our God, and your newborn Son, Jesus Christ, our King and our Lord. Guide us in this grace, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, our closing hymn, during which we will light the candles that I trust everyone now has, is Silent Night, Holy Night, and that can be found on page 147, hymn 147. Let's all stand and sing together. We light these candles not as any strange ceremony or anything like that, but as a reminder that we are called, even as the shepherds did, to go and tell others. The Christ candle in the center of the Advent wreath is representative in a sense of Christ, who is the light of the world, and I as the pastor take that and entrust that then to the elders, who then bring it to the congregation. But it doesn't end there.
Dada,
you are called to go
a
then.
Big one.
It is a big one, yes. You have one too, Lucas, I see you. You are called then to take this light, the light that is the good news of Jesus Christ, and to share it with all of those whom the Lord has privileged to be a part of your life, and who are then able then to go and tell others about the good news that is Jesus Christ. So as you go from here, hear now and receive the benediction of the Lord. Yeah, buddy, hang on one second, okay?
Dada, you have a small one.
I do have a small one, and you have a big one, yes. Receive now the Lord's blessing. May the love of God the Father and the grace of Christ the Son and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all as you go from here, proclaiming the good news that unto you is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Go in the peace that that joy brings, both now and forevermore. Amen.